makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, the superb blend you know is fresh, present the Chase and Sanborn Hour, and your host, Edward Arnold. This is Edward Arnold once again greeting you and bidding you welcome to another Chase and Sanborn Hour. Our guest tonight in the acting department, Miss Faye Bainter. In the popular music department, Miss Margaret McRae. And of course, we have Edgar Berger and Charlie McCarthy, John Carter, Claude and Clarence Stroud, and Robert Armbruster and his orchestra. We trust that you'll enjoy our show and remain our friends as well as friends of Chase and Sanborn. John Carter starts things off with the title song from the Broadway show, I Married an Angel.
Have you heard I'm married an angel? I'm sure that the change will be awfully good for me. Have you heard an angel I'm married? Oh, heaven, she carries this hello with a kiss. She is sweet and gentle, so it isn't strange. When I'm sentimental, she loves me like an angel. Now you've heard I'm married an angel. This beautiful change will be awfully good for me. Have you heard I'm married an angel? I'm sure that the change will be awfully good for me. Have you heard an angel I'm married? Oh, heaven, she's carried this hello with a kiss. She is sweet and gentle, oh, it isn't strange. When I'm sentimental, she loves me like an angel. Now you've heard good for me.
Oh, Mr. Arnold.
Yes, Charlie.
You know, my summer sock company...
Oh, now, Charlie, you're not going to bother me about those tickets for that thing again, are you?
No, Mr. Arnold, no. But now that you mention it, we are giving a benefit performance, and I just happen to have two tickets with me. Lucky you. And it's a worthy cause, too.
Oh, a benefit performance. Oh, that's different. I'm a man of very charitable impulses.
We'll soon find out.
I'll take two seats, Charlie.
Two seats, uh-huh. Maybe you better make it three. You might want to bring someone with you.
What's that? What did you... What is this benefit for? I said, what is this benefit for?
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, it's a benefit.
Yes, I know, but who does this particular benefit benefit?
Well, mostly us. We're raising money for a very needy cause.
And what is this needy cause?
Well, it's cause we need it.
Charlie, if you're selling tickets for benefit, you must leave no room for doubt as to who will use the money.
Believe me, Bergen, there's no doubt. We'll use it if we get it. Believe me.
Yeah, but for what?
Well, Mr. Bergen, we've had a little misfortune down at Puffmeyer's barn.
Are you still presenting Shakespearean plays down there?
No, we dropped Shakespeare. We went in for the higher things, musicals and opera and stuff like that.
Opera?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right, Bergen, but we didn't know it. No.
Well, what opera did you present?
Well, we did a modern version of Carmen.
Carmen?
Yeah, a streamlined and air-cooled.
Who sang the lead?
Well, Mamie Dugan started out.
Yeah.
That is, she thought she was going to finish. Yeah.
And was she that bad?
Well, you see, we'd seen her in some other parts, and we didn't think she could be worse. But she double-crossed us. She was.
And what kind of a voice has Mamie?
Well, it's a sort of a off-coloratura.
Yeah. Off.
Yeah, plenty.
Yeah. What do you mean?
She's sort of a torture singer.
Yeah. Torture.
Yeah.
Does she swing?
Well, if she keeps on singing, I think she will. Yeah. She said the orchestra played so loud she couldn't hear the music. But that sounds illogical, doesn't it?
No.
Maybe our orchestra's too big.
Well, maybe it is.
Yeah.
How many musicians are there in your band?
Oh, about one out of three.
One. Well, Charlie, a good orchestra isn't assembled overnight.
No, we've learned that.
Yes. How long have you been together?
Well, we've practiced for 3 weeks, but we've never been together.
Well, 3 weeks is a short time.
Yes, it is. It certainly is.
It takes months of working together.
It does, huh?
Yes.
I guess there's no shortcut now.
No. Why, look at Bob Armbruster.
Yeah. Well, I don't see why you should insult him at a time like this.
Oh.
And all his interns? Oh, all right, it's summer flannel. I didn't know.
Now, tell me, how many nights did you present Carmen?
One consecutive night.
And what was your longest run?
Carmen.
Carmen, I...
Yes, we ran from the stage door to Dugan's basement.
Just you and Mamie?
No, we were accompanied by the orchestra.
And the audience became a little vexed?
Violent is the word. And all because I tried to improve upon Carmen. You know, in the real opera, nobody ever sees the bullfight.
Oh.
And that's the trouble.
I see. Now, don't tell me, Charlie, that you tried to put an actual bullfight on the stage.
Yes, we did. I played the part of a matador.
Did you?
Yeah. Fool that I am.
You mean you came face to face with a real bull on the stage?
No. No, we used a goat.
A goat, I see.
That's where the bull comes in.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it, Doom. In I walked, McCarthy the Mad Matador, sword in hand, cape over shoulder, senoritas throwing flowers from the stalls.
An air of romance.
Yes, and goat too. So, I walked up to the goat, I looked him straight in the eyes, and midst rousing cheers, I pretended I was facing death and out to kill.
Yes.
Well... The goat wasn't pretending. I
did you try to get away?
Yes. First the goat backed up, and I backed up. I humored him.
Yeah.
He sidestepped, and I sidestepped. Up to then, it was even up.
Yeah.
He turned his back to me, and I turned my back to him. And that's where I made my mistake. Yeah.
He sort of kept you on the run.
Yes, he did that. He did. Yes.
Must have been hard on your feet.
Yes, not only the feet, Bergen. No.
He was a big animal, I imagine.
Yes, he came up to my hips.
He did.
Yes. That's the trouble. He came up there too often. I should think he'd miss me once in a while.
Well, are you through being a matador for a goat now?
Oh, but definitely. No ifs, no ands, no buts.
Yeah. A rather short career, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. I walked in a matador and flew out a barn door.
But you did put up a good fight.
Yes, I did. But he got me in the end.
Yes. I imagine that finished the show, too.
No, unfortunately, there was more. Old man Dugan gave a demonstration of fire eating.
Fire eating?
Yes.
In opera?
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, it was the bright spot of the evening.
Well, it really... Was it acceptable, Charlie?
Yes, it was acceptable, but it wasn't controllable.
Oh, I don't understand exactly.
Well, it was combustible.
I see.
You see, Dugan had a touch of indigestion in the middle of his act.
Uh-huh. What do you mean?
Well, just as he was about to swallow the fire, he burped, and that's how the barn burned down. And the show went up in a blaze of glory.
All right.
From way down south in South Carolina comes the very charming Miss Margaret McRae. Her song, Having Myself a Time. Margaret McRae.
Oh my, what a long time since I had a good time. It has begun. I'm having fun. That's where I get my fill for. I'm having myself a time. I mean, I'm having what I want. Wanting what I have, doing what I like, and liking what I do, and I'm having myself a time. I never could save a dime, and so I'm living like a lord, acting like a loon, lying in the sun and sighing in the moon, and I'm having myself a time. When I hum songs, they're all dumb songs, without reason or rhyme. Certainly in my prime. I mean, I'm happy as a bird flying up above. Want a little love and get a little love, and I'm having myself a time, having a time. Oh, I mean, I'm having what I want, wanting what I have, doing what I like and liking what I do. I'm having myself a time.
And here is information every listener will be glad to get.
Did you know that coffee is a perishable food like milk or eggs? Yes, they're all at their best when they're fresh. Freshly roasted coffee is delicious, but stale coffee can be bitter and rancid tasting. Now, of course, coffee, like many other perishable foods, can be preserved. But millions of people prefer the flavor of freshly roasted coffee, chastened, Sanborn dated coffee. These people like to show when their coffee was roasted. So they ask, did this coffee come to my grocer fresh from the roasting ovens? And when did he get it? And they get the answer to those questions when they buy Chasen Sanborn dated coffee. And when you get this superb blend, you will see right on the bag front the date your grocer received it, freshly roasted. And here's why you always get this fine blend fresh. Chasen Sanborn roasting ovens dot the map from coast to coast. And from an oven near you, fast trucks rush delicious, freshly roasted, dated coffee to your grocer with the date he gets it stamped plainly on every bag. That's how coffee lovers know they're getting the world's choice coffees freshly roasted, rich and mellow and delicious. Try this superb blend. The full-bodied goodness of Chasen Sanborn dated coffee will be especially welcome when you make iced coffee this summer. But hot or iced, you're sure of finer flavor when you get a choice coffee freshly roasted. Buy a pound of Chasen Sanborn dated coffee tomorrow.
famous pianist Rachmaninoff also wrote many fine compositions, among them this song, which John Carter of the Metropolitan Opera Company sings, Floods of Spring.
In the wintry fields white lies the snow, but floods of the spring are brimming o'er. Wake drowsy shores with a dash and a flow, and a rush and a gleam and a wildly roar. All the land for spring, sent forth a coming to proclaim, the spring is here, the spring is here. The tranquil sunny days of May, in a rosy radiant array, come thronging joyously,
the finest actresses of Broadway recently returned to her hometown, Los Angeles, to become one of the finest actresses of Hollywood. Her name, Faye Bainter. Her performances in Jezebel, White Banners, and Mother Carey's Chickens were no surprise to those of us who recall her fine acting on the New York stage as Ming Toy in East is West and as Fran Dodsworth in tonight's play, Dodsworth. The play was adapted by Sidney Howard from the novel by Sinclair Lewis. Faye Bainter in Dodsworth.
Sam Dodsworth, president and owner of the Revelation Motors Company, has just retired from business. After a long and rather sad day at the factory, saying goodbye to every worker personally, he has come home to his wife.
Well, Sam, how do you feel?
Oh, how would any man feel who's just sold 20 years of his life?
I suppose you feel kind of lost.
Oh, I knew what I was doing when I sold, Fran. I know what I'm after from now on.
You mustn't feel lost, though. Life isn't going to be empty from now on. It's going to be fuller than ever and richer for both of us, Sam. Think, you're free. But don't look so mournful about it, darling. Is that the wrong thing for me to say? It's all so exciting to me.
Oh, I'm just as keen on this trip as you are, Fran. I'm raring to go. I've always wanted to go to see London and Paris.
Oh, but I want more than just a trip out of this, Em. I want a new life all over from the very beginning. A perfectly glorious, free, adventuresome life. And it's coming to both of us. Haven't we earned it?
Well, what's to prevent?
Nothing if we start off on a free foot. Why, I'd almost sell this house so we wouldn't have anything to tie us down.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Fran. This is our home. We build ourselves into it.
What I want is to get us some new selves.
Me?
Yes, you. Give yourself a chance to enjoy your leisure and you'll see. Why, you might get to be an ambassador, Sam.
An ambassador?
Yes, you might easily. Why, if we weren't tied to this deadly, half-baked Middle Western town...
Now, Fran, don't start knocking Zenith.
I'm not knocking Zenith, Sam, but I can't help wanting. Oh, I'm thinking of my freedom, too. And I want the lovely things I've got a right to. In Europe, a woman of my age is just getting to where men take a serious interest in her. And I just won't be put on the shelf by my daughter when I can still dance longer and better than she can. No one ever takes me for more than 35 or 30 even. I'm begging for life, Sam. No, I'm not. I'm demanding it.
Well, if that's how you feel, Fran, I'll enjoy life if it kills me. And it probably will. Fran.
Yes?
Haven't we had about enough of Paris?
In a month, oh, my dear Sam. Just unfasten the shoulder strap, will you, move here?
I mean, isn't it time we began thinking about going back home?
Home? Oh, no. I want to see lots more of Europe.
Oh, so do I. But we could get in a couple of months, the Mediterranean and Germany, and still catch a June sailing. I want to see Venice and Rome and get a stein of real German beer before I'm through.
Still planning your cook's tour, are you?
Well, don't see much percent just sitting here on my rear end.
Now, must you talk like a stable boy, Sammy, darling?
Oh, I ought to be getting home pretty soon. Got some business to tend to. Like to see how Emily's getting along in the old house. Like to be in a haven, too, for my class reunion. It's my 30th, you know.
Really? You're 30th?
Oh, I'm not so old.
Oh, of course you're not. Would you mind bringing my cold cream? It's on the bureau.
Uh-huh. No, it's not.
Well, it's in the bathroom, then. And there's, those paper things with it.
Paper things? Oh, where? Oh, yeah, here they are, here they are. Fran, we got to begin making plans pretty soon.
Plans? Oh, you're so definite, Sammy.
Well, we can't keep on drifting.
Drifting? Oh, dear. How sleepy I am. Why... don't you go home?
Without you?
Yes. Get yourself a new lease on life, then come back and join me. Why don't you?
But I wouldn't want to go home without you, Fran.
Well, I can see you aren't enjoying Paris. I'm only thinking of your pleasure. If you thought of mine, you wouldn't ask me to leave here just as we've got to know some really nice people.
Oh, I don't think they're so nice.
Well, we needn't go into that again.
But I don't, and I'm doggoned if I see what you see in them. This Mr. Israel may be all he says he is internationally and financially, but he certainly is no Barney Baruch.
Oh.
Mrs. Pennable may be all right, but I hate to think who pays the bill when that young Austrian takes you out.
Arnold Israel happens to be one of the most distinguished living financiers as well as an art collector. And his business is mostly secret missions for governments, so it's not surprising he doesn't talk about it.
Ah.
René! And it's Madame de Pennable, not Mrs. Pennable. René is a true woman of the great world here. As for Court, he may be poor, but he holds one of the oldest titles in Austria, and they all belong to the most amusing and exclusive crowd in Paris.
Fran, do you think the real thing in Paris would hang out with a couple of hicks like us? Well, what else are we? I'm an ordinary American businessman, and I married the daughter of a Zenith brewer, who seems to be flying pretty high these days.
I suppose you know what you mean by that.
Why won't you sit in a sidewalk cafe with me?
Because smart people don't.
I'm not smart.
I am.
Then you ought to be smart enough not to care what people think.
It's a matter of principle, like the Englishman dressing for dinner in the jungle.
Yeah, I read about him. He probably never did it.
Oh, you just simply won't understand.
I can. And if I like men to be something more than waiters...
I've heard my friends insulted enough.
A lot of gigolos.
I do think you might use something beside that word gigolo, which I taught you.
You did not.
Well, you never learned it at Yale. They don't know about such things
at
Yale.
Will you stop sneering?
And now let's have the one about the great motorman and all he's done for the automobile industry. You may be the most impressive man in Zenith, but you're not in Zenith now. You're in Paris now. And I'm sick and tired of apologizing to my friends for the way
you've been apologizing?
Yes, I have.
Hello? Yeah? What? Oh. All right. We've been making so much noise, someone's complained.
How humiliating.
Yes, isn't it? Well, go ahead. Pipe down, but go ahead. I'm waiting.
You are hopeless. You had the mistiest notion of civilization here.
Well, maybe I don't think much of it. Maybe clean hospitals and concrete high roads and no soldiers along the Canadian border come nearer my idea of real things. There are 20 million cars at home in America, and I've contributed something to every one of them out of my own personal civilization. And if that isn't more than just knowing how to order a dinner with your friend, Mrs. Penable...
Madame de Penable...
All right. Let's not start that again.
You don't want to learn. I could teach you. I belong here. They accept me here.
I'm going to get out of this town back to doing something and take you along.
I'm not going, Ken.
Oh, yes, you are.
I think we need a vacation from each other.
Well, I don't feel that way. I think I've been weak with you long enough.
I've taken a villa for the summer with René de Penalty in Sicily. A Montreux on Lake Geneva. I've signed the lease.
I think you might have told me.
I've got my own money.
Friend.
What?
Well, my darling, you're not drifting away from me.
I hope not.
You and I, friend, after 20 years? Oh, I won't go home. I'll give it up.
You simply got to go. I can't stand being torn this way any longer. I'm suffocating. I'm sorry for every mean thing I've said, but if we're going to go on together, I've really got to be left alone this summer. Oh, don't look so certain. Please don't be angry. Or do be angry if it'll make you any happier. Remember that I did make a real home for you, and I'll do it again. But you've just got to let me have my fling now, because you're simply rushing at old age, Sam. And I'm not ready for that yet. Sam, who are you phoning?
Hello. This is Mr. Dodsworth. Could you tell me when the next boat leaves for New York?
Jason Van Bonau with Fay Bainter, Edward Arnold, Edgar Bergen, and Charlie McCarthy, Morgan McCrae, John Carter, the Stroud Twins, and Robert Arm Brewster and the Jason Van Bonau Orchestra continues in just a moment.
Grand, wasn't it, Charlie?
Wasn't why what?
The song, Tarantella.
Oh, you mean Tarantula. Oh, Tarantula.
No, Charlie. It isn't Tarantula, Charlie. It's Tarantella.
Oh, do tell us, smart fellow.
Charlie, it seems to me that your knowledge of music is very limited.
Yes, Mr. Arnold, and so is mine. And that reminds me, you know what I thought of your acting in the play you just did? Would you like to know? Now, you take the first theme.
Eddie, I'd like to meet this Frank young man.
Very well, Faye, but I warn you, this is Charlie McCarthy.
Hello, Miss Bainter.
I've heard a great deal about you, Mr. McCarthy.
It's a pack of lies. I can explain everything.
Did I understand you to say that you didn't care for Mr. Arnold's acting in the play?
I thought the play was very good, Miss Bainter.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. And what about my acting?
I still think the play was very good. Get it?
Well, of all the influential young whippersnappers I ever met...
Now, just a minute, Faye. Just a minute. Let me handle it, Charlie. If I thought you meant that you didn't like our acting,
Mr. Arnold, let's not resort to fisticuffical fighting. Remember, I got a monocle on.
Well, why don't you take it off?
Oh, I'm no fool. It's nailed on.
Go ahead, Eddie. Teach him to respect his elders.
Now, Mr. Arnold, lay off that rough stuff. Let go of my lapel. You hear? I didn't think your acting was bad.
Well, what did you think?
Well, I think you better talk me out of this, Bergen. What I mean is, you're too young a man to play the part of Dodsworth. That's what I mean.
Oh, go on, Charlie. Do you think so?
Yeah. Thanks, Bergen. Yes, Mr. Arnold, you're more of a... more of a juvenile, sort of a college kid.
Well, that's constructive criticism, Charlie. I'm glad you think so.
Yes. You're sort of a dashing young athletic type. Those are muscles, aren't they?
Well, I see what you mean, Charlie. And do you think I'm too young to play the part of Mrs. Dodger?
Yes, you are. If you play it, you should use makeup, you know, and imitate the voice of an old woman.
Oh, that boy knows his theater.
Yes. Oh, the old oil always gets him, huh? Yes, I read the play the other night, and I recast it, see? And while I was recasting it, I rewrote it, see? And now that I rewrote it, I feel that I've got something. The question is, how to get rid of it, see?
Well, there's an easy way to get rid of it, Charlie. Let's do it.
A capital idea. Miss Banger, you play my wife. And Mr. Arnold, you play my son.
Your son? But yes. You're much younger than I am, Charlie.
Yeah, but this way I get a much bigger part.
What do you call your version of Dodger, Charlie?
I call it Dot's Worthless.
Oh, not funny.
Dot, curtain.
Presenting Dodge Worthless by Charles T. Ulitzer Prize McCarthy. With Faye Bater as the wife, Fram, Edward Arnold as the son, Ham, and Charles McCarthy as the husband, Sam. Scene is Dodge Worthless modest 32-room bungalow.
With swimming pool?
Yes, and a kitchenette.
Pack up, Fram. We're going to Paris.
Say, Pappy, can I have a dime for a lollipop?
Scram, Ham. I want to talk to Fram.
Oh, Sam.
Yeah, Fram.
What are we going to Europe for?
Well, you know those automobiles I've been making for the past 20 hours.
Yes?
Well, they just found out there's been a slight defect. My Super Sputter 6.
Anything serious?
No, nothing serious. I just sort of didn't happen to put any motors in them, that's all. Sort of absent-minded, like.
You mean, Pappy, ain't been putting no engines in them things?
Yes, my hillbilly son, no work, that's it.
Well, we better beat it before they give us the work.
Yes, is everything packed?
Yes, Sam, the car's waiting out in front.
Well, make sure it isn't one of those one of my sputter hoopers. One of my cars. We want to get away this time.
Yes, Sam.
Yes, come on, Ham and Fram. We got to take it on a lamb. Off to Paris. Ah, Paris. I can see the Leaning Tower.
Oh, don't be silly. The Leaning Tower's in Italy.
No, it's in Paris now. That's what it gets for leaning over too far. Come along, Fram, my pomme de terre.
Pomme de terre? What does that mean?
That's French for my little hummingbird.
Don't you believe him, Mammy. That means potato.
Sam, don't you call me a potato.
Please, my dear, must we argue all the time?
You're the one who's always arguing.
Well, if you'd agree with me, there wouldn't be any argument.
Pappy, are you ailing?
Yes, son, I'm brooding. I got a misery in my heart.
Pappy, I want to ask you a question. Are you satisfied with married life?
Yes, son, I'm satisfied. I've had plenty of it.
That goes double. Listen, Sam.
Yes, Fran?
I've met some awful nice men over here, dukes and earls and stuff like that.
There must be those gigaloos, Pappy.
Those gigaloos ain't nothing to giggle at, son. You don't mean you're going to leave me, Fran?
Yes, Sam, I am.
Well, I'll be clammed.
Hey, Pappy, stop your philosophizing. I got a headache.
You got a what?
Headache.
With what? Fran, if you leave me, I'll go crazy.
Oh, no, you won't. I'll bet you'll marry again.
Oh, I won't go that crazy.
What's the matter, Pappy? Ain't your marriage as nice as it used to be?
No, son, and it never was.
Kind of worries me, Pappy.
Don't you pay no mind to it, son. Just take good care of your health. Can't figure out what makes him so puny.
Now, quit picking on him, Sam. He's anemic.
Is that what he is? Mm. Well, he's got more of it than any kid I ever saw.
Mammy and Pappy, I'm afraid you two are drifting apart. Is your love boat spring leak?
Spring leak, the whole bottom fell out. It's come to the point where we only have one thing in common. We hate each other.
Come to think of it, you're right. I want to live and laugh.
Ho, 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 ho.
I want to taste popovers in Paris.
I want to try some Venetian blinds in Venice.
Hey, Pappy, I want a Venetian blind.
Don't think I can get one to fit you, son.
Cablegram for Mr. Dodsworthless. Cablegram for Mr. Dodsworthless.
Right here, son. Say, who are you?
I am a messenger, boy.
Yeah? Well, you're the spitting image of a fellow I know back in the States by the name of Johnny Carter. Do you know him?
I have never heard of she.
I don't blame you for denying it.
There is a charge of 50 francs and 18 centimes. Collect.
Collect?
We collect.
You try to collect. We don't pay. How did this cablegram come all the way from Zenith so quickly?
I use my
You what?
My cyclopedia.
You what?
My cybicle.
Oh.
You'll excuse me. I do not speak English too very good.
No, you will excuse me, but you do not speak French dialect too very good either. I don't know why we ever gave you the part.
Well, should I wait for an answer?
No, I'll give it to you right now. You're fired.
Now read the cablegram, Pappy.
Read it.
I better open it first. Son, I told you not to wear those pants so tight. business, business, business. Us big businessmen always being bothered. Can't even leave us alone when we retired.
What's it say, Sam?
I see. Oh, goodness me. Oh, this is terrible. This changes everything. Pack up your stuff, Fran. We got to go back to the States right away.
Is it important?
I don't know. I never learned to read.
We're back in the States to hear a beautiful song sung by the lovely Margaret McRae. The song, I Hadn't Anyone Till You.
I hadn't anyone till you. I was a lonely one till you. I used to lie awake and wonder if there could be a someone in this wide world just made for me. I had to save my love for you. I never gave my love to you. And through my lonely heart demanding it, Cupid took a hand in it. I hadn't anyone till you. Someone is I never gave my love to you. And through my lonely heart demanding it, Cupid took a hand in it. I hadn't anyone.
Fine, Margaret, that was fine. That was really splendid.
It certainly was, Edwin.
You know, Clarence, every time I hear music, it makes a tingle run up and down my spine. An electrical tingle, a happy tingle.
He's happy about the whole tingle.
Claude, what Edward was referring to was a mild electrical shock caused by sound waves, which are charged particles electrically impelled through the ether. Edward, are you familiar with the principles of electricity?
Why, of course, Clarence. Electricity is the, Let's see. Electricity is...
Is it?
Well, I had it on the tip of my tongue a minute ago, but I lost it.
Well, that's unfortunate, Edward. Even the greatest scientists do not know exactly what electricity is. You have just swallowed a great contribution to civilization.
He'll eat anything.
What?
We do not realize the many uses we find for electricity in each of our daily lives. Take me, for instance.
Must I?
Consider this, Claude. I am awakened in the morning by an electric alarm clock. I turn on the electric light, shave with an electric razor, take an electric elevator downstairs, and board an electric streetcar to work. Doesn't that impress you?
Yeah, I forgot to put your clothes on.
Well, he had his pajamas on.
I did not have my pajamas on.
Oh, shame, shame.
Apparently, I must keep this discussion as simple as possible. I shall confine my terms to protons, electrons, and the electrified substance known as ions.
Ewans?
Ions.
Weans?
Ions. Ions are particles of electricity.
So is essence.
Ions?
I as in ink, O as in orange, N as in Nelly.
Say, Claude, what is he talking about?
Something about Nelly and some oranges.
I repeat, an ion is an electrified particle of matter. It is the smallest known unit of electricity, and the way to measure electricity is by horsepower.
Say, what is a horsepower, Clarence?
Depends on the horse.
It does not depend on the horse. Horsepower is a unit of measure just like a pound or a ton.
How many horsepower is that?
Now, wait a minute, Claude. I don't care so much about this idea of being compared to a horsepower.
Let me explain again. Horsepower is the unit by which we measure energy. One horsepower equals... Edward, you yourself could be carried through all your daily tasks by one horsepower.
Who, me?
Yeah, but it's asking a lot of the horse.
Claude, you evidently do not realize that I am trying to explain some of the advantages of electricity. Without electricity, you could not telegraph me, you could not telephone me, you could not ring my doorbell.
Yeah, but I could still hear you.
I shall not dignify that remark by answering it. Electricity is all about us. Even our bodies are electrical magnets composed of positive and negative forces, attracting or repelling one another. For instance, let us say I am negative.
Yes, you are.
And you are attracted to me? I say you are attracted to me?
No.
Then you are negative.
No, I'm positive.
Clarence, you attract me. I think you're awful nice.
Thank you, Edward. I can assure you it's mutual.
Two magnets that way about each other.
Claude, don't you understand? We are all complete electrical units. You are. Edward is. I am. The brain is the power plant which keeps us supplied with energy or current.
Current's on again, Ed.
That is immaterial. We each have our own system of plugs, fuses, and switches. When we are not feeling well, some part of our electrical equipment is out of order.
Now, how are you feeling, Claude?
I got a pain in the fuse box.
Yeah, and I got an upset dynamo. I guess I've been eating too many watts.
Well, you are getting a little heavy around the transformer.
Edward Clark.
Yeah, the doctor says I've got varicose bolts.
Maybe you got flat foot sockets with a fuse fuse.
Gentlemen, you are ridiculing a subject that has influenced the course of civilization. If there had been electricity in Paul Revere's day, instead of making his historical ride, he could have picked up his telephone and said, "I want some minute men." And the operator would have instantly replied,
"Deposit 5 cents for five more minute men."
Say, Clarence, didn't they know something about electricity before then? When did Benjamin Franklin fly that kite of his?
It was in 1752, Edward. With thunder roaring, lightning flashing, Benjamin Franklin stood flying his kite in a torrential downpour. And it was in the midst of this terrific storm that he discovered electricity. What do you think of that?
He picked a heck of a time to fly a kite.
You should show more deference to deeds of this sort, Claude. In addition to Benjamin Franklin, we are indebted to many great men for the development of electricity, including, if I may say so, our own beloved ancestor. Claude, will you ever forget Sir Lyceum Stroud?
I will if you will, yeah.
How can you talk like that when you know that during his time, Sir Lyceum made many outstanding contributions to the progress of electricity? His experiences were a great help to society.
Well, what did Sir Lyceum have to do with electricity?
He proved that the electric chair worked.
Oh.
He did not. They knew that before he was elected. I mean, Sir Lyceum. Sir Lyceum formulated many theories. He was the first, incidentally, to suggest that a horse car could be drawn without using a horse.
You mean he wanted the job himself?
How could he have helped electricity by pulling a horse car? What could he have gained?
$1 a day and all the oats he could eat.
Say, Clarence, wouldn't it be great if Sir Lyceum could see some of the things we have today?
Yes, Johnny. How he would have thrilled to some of the amazing inventions we have now. The wireless, the radio. Just think, he could sit in his easy chair, press a switch, and hear such wonderful things as...
Calling all cars, wake up, it's morning.
News of the world brought to your breakfast table.
Exactly, gentlemen. Through the airwaves, he could hear...
Da 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 la la.
You too can sound like that in 10 easy lessons.
Hello, everyone. This is your cooking expert. Take a cup of flour and 2 eggs.
I don't see how you can possibly...
Are you ashamed of your bald head?
Grease your pan and bake well.
This is preposterous. Is there nothing I can do?
Take the white of an egg and beat it.
I shall ignore you completely, and that is final.
We're happy about the whole thing.
The musical story of a young gentleman named Peter, who had a passion for pumpkins. Robert Armbruster, the orchestra, and Peter, Pumpkin Eater.
When you buy your groceries tomorrow, be sure to think of this.
There's a very special reason why it pays to get freshly roasted coffee. The flavor of coffee is carried by a delicate oil. When your coffee is freshly roasted, this oil carries the fragrance and richness you want in your coffee. But you don't get this goodness unless your coffee is fresh. For coffee is a perishable food. Like eggs and milk and cream, coffee can easily spoil if it gets old. And stale coffee can taste harsh, unpleasant, rancid. Of course, coffee, like other perishable foods, can be preserved. But millions of people prefer freshly roasted coffee, Chasen Sanborn dated coffee. For the makers of Chasen Sanborn dated coffee assure you of freshness. They rush their coffee fresh from roasting to your grocer. Every few days, fast trucks bring him freshly roasted coffee, rushed from a nearby roasting oven. And the date he gets it is plainly marked on every bag. Your assurance that this coffee is freshly roasted. So try Chasen Sanborn dated coffee, a blend of the world's choice coffees, freshly roasted. Try it. Enjoy coffee as it should be. Coffee as you like it. Drink it hot for breakfast, iced through the heat of the day. The full, rich body of Chasen Sanborn makes it ideal for iced coffee. And iced or hot, you are sure of getting this fine coffee at its best because you know it's freshly roasted. Ask your grocer for Chasen Sanborn dated coffee tomorrow.
A very simple, sweet, and very beautiful Scotch folk song. John Carter sings Annie Laurie.
Maxwell and Trace are bonny, where early followed you, and it was there that Annie Laurie did me her promise to.
And that brings us around to the end of another Chase and Sandman hour, an hour made possible by your purchases of Chase and Sandman coffee. That's the best way to tell us that you enjoy our show. Next week, our special guest will be John Barrymore. And next week, too, an old friend returns. The flags will be flying and the welcome will ring for Nelson Eddy.
Nelson Eddy? Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Yes, Charlie, we're all happy he's coming back.
Happy, old boy, I'll say. I've been practicing for weeks.
You mean you've been practicing singing?
No, wrestling. When we shake hands, I'm going to give Nelson the half Nelson. Oh!
Well, maybe Nelson will have something to say about that, huh?
Mr. Arnold, you kill you.
Of course, the rest of us will be around, too. Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, the Stroud twins, and Robert Ambruster and his orchestra. We all wish Dorothy L'Amour a very speedy recovery. Until next Sunday, then, so long.
Be with us again next Sunday at the same time for another big Chase and Sanborn hour. Nelson Eddy, John Barrymore, Edward Arnold, Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, the Stroud Twins, and Robert Ambruster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. Heard on this program were Having Myself a Time from Tropic Holiday and The Big Show by Jerome Kern. This is Wendell Niles speaking for the makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee. This is the National Broadcasting Company.